This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the Morning Run, 15th November 2019. I'm Koo Soo Chuang, joined by Wong Shao Ding. And this is the time when we get a little bit more serious with the news. And therefore, we have to talk about US stocks, which closed largely flat yesterday. Markets are awaiting developments on the US-China trade talks as per normal. The Dow was down 0.01%, which is pretty much unchanged. The S&P was up by 0.08%, which is basically barely up. And similarly for the Nasdaq, just barely up at 0.04%.
It sounds like a very boring day of trades.
Very boring.
Yeah, it's barely a yawn, right? Meanwhile, stocks in Asia were mixed on Thursday amid news that the China's October's industrial production data showed it missed expectations, growing only 4.7% year-on-year compared to expectations of 5.4% growth. Japan also not having a good time. Growth touched a one-year low in the third quarter, growing only 0.2%, well lower than the median forecast of 0.8%. So as a result, Nikkei closed flat, Hang Seng down 0.9%, Shanghai up 0.2%, Kospi up 0.4%, Straits Times down 0.2%, and FBM KLCI down 0.2% also.
So in other words, the number one and number two biggest economies in Asia, where production, industrial production and growth were basically missing expectations. So I wonder what that says about the market. But to get some more clarity on exactly that, we have on the line Tim Mulholland. He's the president of TGM Limited out of Chicago, USA. Tim, thank you for joining us again. Now, China's October retail sales and industrial output data came in below market expectations, while the government authorities stated that downward pressure has continued to increase on the economy. In your opinion, will this cause the Chinese to change the tone of the trade talks with the US?
Well, you know, despite the weakness, my answer is no. I don't think it's going to change. Even though the Trump team believes wholeheartedly that they will, I think they're being underestimated here. Look, at auto sales have been down for how many months in a row? You know, 16 months in a row. You have the, a 16-year low in retail sales. It's a concern, but I think it's as much the tariffs, maybe more so the deleveraging. And that's what you really saw in the fixed asset investment, which is about like half of where it was 2 years ago. So that's also at a very, I think, the weakest ever for fixed asset investment. So to me, deleveraging is one, but I don't think it changes the trade stance because I don't think much is going to happen once that does. So.
And Tim, if you look at Japan, right, like what we said, GDP for this third quarter is 0.2%, far short of the forecast of 0.8%. And this is on the back of falling exports and trade tensions with South Korea. Now, do you think Japan is heading for another lost decade? Or would the stimulus package details, which we don't have, of course, that was announced last week, be enough to buffer the effects of a slowdown?
Well, I tell you, Japan... You know, what stimulus can they really do? But they're really getting hit very hard, obviously, with their little row with Korea, South Korea. But also the China slowdowns hit them very hard because it hit their sectors pretty hard. So if we can get some kind of daylight and resume some sort of pickup, Japan will do okay. But their big problem is that potential economic growth is what, gross of your labor force times your productivity or plus your productivity. And their growth of labor force is not so hot. So, I mean, I think they're mired in this type of growth right here. But I think China is what they need some resolve here in its trade to kind of, you know, bottom them out here.
Yeah, Tim, going to oil, and oil prices, of course, have been all over the shop the last few days, volatile and low inventory levels, expectations. And then, of course, a correction last night. Do you have a direction for oil prices in, you know, going into 2020?
Well, I do think there's a little bit of an issue here where it's going to be reduced lower production here in the U.S., because a lot of these wells, you know, the new wells, the depletion rate's pretty fast. So I think they're producing less and there's not a lot of new investment, number one. Secondly, I think OPEC might. But I think it all boils down to me, what is your view on the economy? If we get economic growth, the supplies will be tight. If we don't get any pickup in economic growth, supplies are going to be heavy. So I think that's really what it boils down to me.
And if we look at Australia, the continent that's quite often ignored, I mean, employment rates unexpectedly spiked in October. Now, do you think that the rate cuts by the RBA are back on the table? And do you share this view? And overall, what do you think the impact will be on their dollar?
Well, I'd say that's a good question. They're really getting hit very badly in the China issue as well, big partner, trading partner of theirs. You know, and I look at the Aussie going through multi-year lows here. So to me, it looks like there's a risk if they probably need cut rates, but I think that's, you know, I'm not so sure they're going to really worry about the currency a lot. They might need a little help there, you know, with the weaker currency. But I think they're in a tough spot here, but it looks like they're going to cut rates. But I certainly wouldn't be looking to buy the Aussie anytime soon.
All right, Tim, thank you ever so much for your time again. That was Tim Mulholland, the president of TJM Limited out of Chicago, USA. Now, interesting comments in terms of where the trade talks are, but according to the Financial Times, those negotiations are apparently hitting snags yet again. The reports are that they're both struggling to complete a Phase 1 deal. Let me repeat that, a Phase 1 deal to halt the trade war. According to senior officials out of Washington and Beijing, they're still jostling over intellectual property provisions, agricultural purchases, tariff rollbacks, even after weeks of negotiations, so they don't bode well as we go into the end of 2019.
Now, this is important because President Trump has warned that levies on Chinese goods would increase substantially on December 15, if the two sides failed to reach an agreement, which the FT says suggests some anxiety within the White House that the talks are kind of falling apart. Senior Trump administration officials have also conceded that the date of completion might slip, but have publicly dismissed the idea that there has been any setback in the negotiations. From what I gather, they're supposed to meet up, right? Xi Jinping and President Trump. Whether that's going to happen, because they haven't even seemed to have found a venue to sign Phase 1 or have talks on Phase 1.
Yeah, I think that heavy lifting is done at this level. And obviously, without any resolution on that front, the top dogs can't meet yet. But the latest report from Bloomberg this morning, China lifting their four-year-old ban on US poultry shipments. That's a small sign of trade deal progress at a time when agricultural purchases have become a sticking point. And we know this to be a fact. So obviously, this is a little line in the sand where positivity is concerned. Okay, still very much on the American front. Walmart has reported their earnings and they said that sales growth has risen in the most recent quarter. Now, they have apparently continued to take market share from competitors, benefiting from strong consumer spend ahead of the Christmas holiday shopping season.
Yeah, so for this important retail giant, U.S. Comparable sales rose 3.2%, marking a five-year streak of quarterly sales gains, while e-commerce sales rose 41% in the U.S., boosted by online grocery orders. And now this results were so significant that President Trump made some comments. And he said that Walmart's healthy sales will prove that his administration's imposition on tariffs on Chinese imports weren't driving up prices or actually hurting U.S. consumer spending. Walmart announces great numbers, no impact from tariffs, he tweeted.
Of course, Trump conveniently also ignores the fact that a large tranche of those tariffs on consumer goods, they haven't gone into effect yet because they were only scheduled to be implemented December 15th. But that's what politicians do.
It's okay. It doesn't matter. Just take the credit first quickly. Quickly, you know, claim all fame, okay?
That's right. But we also do know the fact that Walmart is the first major US retailer to report their results. Next week, we've got several chains coming out. Target comes out, Best Buy comes out, Macy's comes out. I think the big question is really whether the US consumer is still going to stay strong, because that, like in Malaysia as well, these are the guys that drive the economy. Consumption drives the economy.
Yeah, at least 70% of US economy is related to consumption. So the data points to look out are retail spending, jobless numbers, wage growth. Those are very critical for the US economy.
Yeah, sales, property sales as well, secondarily.
But it's very hard to monitor this also on the flip side, because actually, although numbers can look very robust, they can suddenly turn down very quickly. And before you know it, you're caught unawares, and market then reacts quite violently when they see numbers come down.
Yeah, I wonder what it's like that, you know, obviously last year would have been a good indication, but this year, 12 months on, those trade talks haven't yet progressed in a significant way. So I wonder how much that's going to weigh on sentiment.
Yeah.
Okay, so apart from the US-China trade war, we've also seen countries increasingly seeing more economic impact from climate change. We earlier this morning talked about floods on the East Coast, Kelantan, Terengganu, and it's the same thing, right? Australia is burning, the marsh fires are burning, Venice is underwater. And so there's been no surprise that Italy has declared a state of emergency in Venice. More than 80% of the city was underwater when tides were their highest. And at the end of the day, when you realise that Venice is actually a man-made island, and St. Mark's Square in Venice is one of the world's most historic landmarks, it's no surprise that the government is declaring a state of emergency.
Yeah, meanwhile, even parts of Australia have been ravaged by wild bushfires this week, with four people killed and communities forced to flee the flames. I mean, the whole bushfire has sparked a debate whether Prime Minister Scott Morrison is doing enough to curb emissions and whether climate change is worsening the fire season in what is already the world's driest inhabited continent. Now, his Conservative government has snapped calls to discuss the impact of climate change in drought-affected rural areas, saying its full focus should be on extinguishing the blazes and helping victims. You know, you just wonder, is it enough? I mean, you want to put out the fire, fine, but shouldn't the focus be on the question as to why these fires keep on happening all the time?
Well, the issue, and this is something that the climate change and naysayers always maintain, this is not a new issue. It has always been dry and hot in that part of the world in this time of year. And 34 degrees in Brisbane is nothing. I've been through 41, 42 degrees. It is a dry, scorching heat, which is unbelievable. But it's always been like that for the longest time.
But do these fires happen as frequently as they did in the last 100 years is the question we should ask.
Yeah, I think that is the issue. And in so many disparate parts of the world. I mean, Venice is one thing, East Malaysia is another, Australia is another. Okay, it is now 16 minutes past 7. We're going to be coming back in a couple more minutes with more local news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.